Good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Friday, April the 5th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 5th, 1951, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were sentenced to death following conviction in the New York on charges of conspiring to commit espionage for the Soviet Union. Today in 1614, Indian Chief Powhatan's daughter, Pocahontas, married Englishman John Rolfe, a widower in the Virginia colony. Pocahontas. No, not that Pocahontas. This was the real Pocahontas. Today in 1621, the Mayflower sailed from Plymouth Colony in present-day Massachusetts on a month-long return trip to England. Today in 1764, Britain's Parliament passed the American Revenue Act of 1764. Anytime you see the word revenue, you know what that means, of course. It was also known as the Sugar Act. It was taxes. Today in 1887 in Tuscumbia, I think that's how you pronounce that town, in Alabama, teacher Ann Sullivan, she achieved a breakthrough as her six-year-old deaf-blind pupil, Helen Keller, learned the meaning of the word water, as spelled out in the manual alphabet. Today in 1976, reclusive billionaire Howard Hughes, he died in Houston. He was 70 years old. Today in 1987, Fox Broadcasting Company made its primetime TV debut. This is not Fox News Channel. That's something different. But it's the programming on stations, you know, drama and one thing another. That's the one that made its primetime debut in 1987, like Q13 in Seattle and so on. Today in 2008, actor Charlton Heston, big screen hero, later leader of the National Rifle Association, he died in Beverly Hills. He was 84 years old. My son-in-law and I spent a day with him, and Marjorie as well, spent a day with him in Bellevue some years ago, several years before he passed away. And he had come to help support and to promote a project that we were involved in there. And we spent the day with him, and he was a very humble guy. I mean, he was not assuming at all. And I asked him about the how he felt and, you know, what it was like to be Moses in the movie. And he said, interestingly enough, he said it was overwhelming. He said, I felt a presence that I had never felt in my life as I played that role, and realizing that I was characterizing and putting on screen what millions of people would see as the truth and God's word coming to the people and so on. He was very moved by it. He said, I've never forgotten the feeling I had while we were doing that film, particularly, he said, coming down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. So I hope that he understood before he died what those commandments mean in real terms. I believe he could have. He may have. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he warned that Israel was becoming like the terrorist organization. This was yesterday afternoon. He said Israel is becoming like the terrorist organization Hamas. He's suggesting that both Hamas and Israel both showed the same disregard for civilian life. He said we can't have that. The Times of Israel reported last night, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warns that Israel risks becoming indistinguishable from Hamas if it continues to fail to protect civilians amid the Gaza war. Let's be real. Yes, there were people that were killed, and that's horrible. War is horrible. War is hell. That's why we should never have wars, but we have always had wars, and Jesus said we will always have wars and rumors of wars. And these people have grabbed a very sad situation. I mean, these people were workers. They should never have been killed, but it happens in war. I'm not excusing it. I'm not minimalizing it, but I'm just saying that happens. people are starting to raise questions now with Blinken about times when inadvertently the United States has killed civilians in a war situation. He won't answer it. They hate Israel that much. They fall more on the side of Iran than they do on the side of America and our tradition from the very founding of this nation, our support of Israel. That's based on biblical truth. It's not based on politics. He said what happened after October 7 could have ended immediately if Hamas had stopped hiding behind civilians, released the hostages, and put down its weapons. But Israel is not Hamas, the Times of Israel says. Israel is a democracy. Hamas is a terrorist organization. That's our strength. That's what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront. Blinken did not provide evidence that Israel was failing to protect civilians. Earlier this week, Israel concluded a two-week battle in which it killed 200 terrorists who had holed up in a Shifa hospital. There were zero civilian deaths. I found it very interesting, this story. There's much more to the story, but that's the essence of it. I found it very interesting that Biden has betrayed Israel on the eve of Al-Quds Day. That's Iran's annual orgy of anti-Israel hatred. Think about that for a moment. Well, we can't vote for Trump. Boy, his life is just too sketchy. So, as a Christian, I'm going to have to vote for Biden. God help us. Federal Aviation Administration has temporarily grounded all flights out of at Newark and John F. Kennedy International Airports in the tri-state area. There was a magnitude, at least, they're saying, a magnitude at least 4.8 earthquake that struck New Jersey this morning. There have been no immediate reports of damage, but they're looking into it. It just happened a little while ago. They're looking into it to see what's going on there, this quake, see if there's any buildings that got messed up or any, you know, people hurt or whatever. The FAA said in an advisory that customers can expect possible arrival holding in the Newark, LaGuardia, JFK, and Teterboro airports due to earthquake. Holding is expected until 1600 hours with delays of 30 to 45 minutes, they added. Some reports are coming. I just saw some reports before I came on the air live here at 9 a.m. And they were saying that it might be a little worse than what the first reports were reporting. So we'll see how all that works out. On Monday, millions of people are going to be gazing up into the heavens. Yeah, the eclipse chasers are heading to Texas and other states in the path of this eclipse that's coming. In fact, ABC News, David Muir, he announced last night on their half-hour national news, they're the number one rated secular news group now, he said he'll be there. He's going to be in Maine or somewhere. He's going to take the ABC News crew up there, and they're going to do it live. It's a big deal. You say, it's just, you know, but no, it's a big deal. People are traveling here from all over the world to get in that pathway. One former scientist, and he's a Christian, he says this phenomena is an opportunity that's ripe for evangelism. And there are people taking some steps to do this. I want to share that with you today. It's kind of encouraging to me to see people, Christian people, all along the path of this eclipse where people are going to be able to see it. I mean, if it's clear, if it's cloudy, they won't, obviously. But they're having watch parties, and they're having gatherings in their homes and everything to talk about the glory of God and how he created the universe. I mean, it's pretty inspiring. I hope it is to you. Texas is one of the states that will experience the path of totality, the path where the moon's disk completely blocks out the sun. And it kind of goes on a curve. You've probably seen some of it. You'll hear a lot of about this over the weekend, and Monday you'll hear a ton of it. If ABC News crew is going up to cover it live, up, I think they said Maine. I'm not sure, somewhere up there. But others will probably do that as well. But Texas is one of the states that will experience the path of totality, the path where the moon's disk completely blocks the sun. There are eight major U.S. cities that will be in the pathway, or in this path of totality. The path is 115 miles wide. It's a track, and it falls under the moon's central shadow. So it's quite a phenomenon, really. If you have any interest in those kinds of things, it will get your attention. Of course, the New Agers are going nuts over this, and Christians are preparing for it, and that made my heart glad. Truly, it did. CBN has published several very good articles on this, and other news organizations are, as we speak, putting out articles about it, and there will be a lot about it over the weekend, and the coverage on Monday, as this happens, will be pretty significant. So I thought we should talk a little bit about it today. During totality, which here in Kerrville, Texas, he says, is going to be 4 minutes and 26 seconds at my house. The sky is going to be so dark like night. Jeff Stone, he's an eclipse enthusiast. In fact, the people that know him call him the eclipse guy. And he's a former NASA employee. And he was talking to the Baptist Press the other day, and he was telling them what he's going to do. He said, you'll be able to see stars. Granted, he said, you won't see all the stars that you normally do, but you'll be able to see the bright stars. And in the case of this one, he said, you'll also be able to see all the naked eye planets. And I think that is going to be crazy cool. Stone once traveled to Mexico to witness 7 minutes of total eclipse. And in 2017, he traveled to Missouri to experience 2 minutes of it. He and his wife are going to host an eclipse enthusiast party. People are coming from to their house from as far away as Sweden on Monday to watch this together. And their intent is to share the creator of what they're watching, Almighty God, and tell them about Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. They're not the only ones that's planning to use this event as they share the gospel. At Coryell Community Church in Gatesville, Texas, they're going to be hosting a watch party that will include live music, games, food, and worship. No, they're not going to worship the sun. They're going to worship the person who made the sun, the Lord God Almighty. I think that's great. God's going to show us his power again, Stone said. Stone, who attends Trinity Baptist in Kerrville, he likens the effects of watching an eclipse to what it must have been like when the darkness cloaked the earth during Jesus' crucifixion. To have skies dark enough to see stars in daytime hours during totality is still blowing my mind to even think about it, Stone says. And he worked for NASA. He's been around this kind of thing. He said the Bible has more to say about celestial events in general beyond solar eclipses. The scripture talks about signs in the heavens quite a few times, especially related to the moon and the sun. Well, he's absolutely right. In Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28, the Bible says that there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Does any of that sound familiar? Signs in the sun and the moon, of course. In the stars. Upon the earth distress of nations. Have we lived in our lifetime under any more distress of nations than we are now? War is boiling. The people who are supposed to be informed in our country and in our government are not positive. They're saying things are not good. War is imminent. In fact, they were announcing just yesterday, I mentioned it on this program, that Iran is going to attack within the next 48 hours, and that was yesterday, is going to make some kind of an attack in retaliation toward the United States and Israel. I don't know if they're right or not, but they were saying that yesterday. Our government was saying that. 26, verse 26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. 27 says, verse 27 says, and then shall we see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Wow. That's pretty powerful stuff. Stone says God is going to show us his power again as he gathers these people, some, as I said, from as far away as Sweden. The Bible has so much to say about these kinds of things. There's Christian professors and scientists who are also weighing in on this. And I don't know, I paused and I read this a couple of times, but let me share it with you. I mean, I get it. But this Dr. Daniel Kenefick, he's a physics professor at the University of Arkansas, and apparently a Christian. And he said it's pretty dramatic. He said a total solar eclipse is a very unique event because the moon, by a strange coincidence, it's not a strange coincidence. I think he's saying that to make a point. Really, I don't know anything about this guy, and I'm not defending him. But there are no coincidences in God's universe. But anyway, he's saying, maybe tongue-in-cheek, solar eclipse is a very unique event because the moon, by this strange coincidence, happens to be the same apparent size in our skies as the sun. Of course, the moon is much smaller than the sun, but it's also a lot closer, and it's precisely the right distance that it blocks out the sun while leaving the area around the sun, which means we get to see the solar atmosphere called the corona. Not only does it get dark, because the body of the sun is no longer visible and even noticeably colder, but we get this remarkable display, and it's often said that animals like birds will be fooled into thinking that night has fallen quite quickly, says this doctor. Dave Parker, he's from the Arkansas Department of Transportation. He expects a large number of eclipse tourists in their state, I'm sure that'll be true. He said about 1 million extra people from Thursday night, last night, through Tuesday, this coming Tuesday the 9th, he said, will be in the state for that very purpose. As a result, he said, many schools in Arkansas and other states are canceling classes. Texas officials are even warning residents to top off their gas tanks and stock up with food. I guess they're saying that because there'll be so many people there, they'll buy out the shelves at the grocery stores. I don't know. But in Ohio, the governor signed an executive order to increase staffing for emergency management. They're all treating the April 8 eclipse like a major travel holiday. Any way you cut it, the highways and the interstates are going to be crowded, says Parker. More than 31 million people will be in the path of totality when this eclipse passes through North America. As exciting as it is for us today, eclipses took on a much different tone in ancient times, some Christian astronomers and physicists are saying. Dr. Scott Tripling, he's with the Associates for Biblical Research, he said the ancient people saw celestial phenomena as omens. It frightened them. Using a data system that intersects NASA data with the ancient Assyrian calendar, he says, Associates for Biblical Research has found that it shows an eclipse passed over Nineveh in the mid-8th century BC. That event was preceded and followed by a series of natural disasters. And lo and behold, what does the Bible show us? A renegade prophet, the guy that tried to run away and got swallowed by a whale, a renegade prophet named Jonah shows up and he's preaching repentance at a time that they would be open to it, that normally they wouldn't because of the omen. Stripling used that as an illustration. He said God timed this And God's call on Nineveh, or on Jonah, and Jonah said, no, I'm not going to go there. And he, ran away. And we know this story. We saw it on the little flannel board as kids if we grew up in church and Sunday school. If not, we still know the story. But it's a true story. And he is using that as an example of how God's precisely timed universe happens to advance the spiritual, the kingdom of God in people's hearts. And so God knew that Jonah was going to resist God's call upon him to begin with, that he would run away in a ship and hit a storm and admit that he was the problem that caused the storm, and they throw him overboard. And a great fish would come and swallow him. How else could you explain that kind of timing? And by the time this fish barfs him out on the shore, Jonah's ready to go do what the Lord has called him to do. And that's to preach the Lord's gospel, the word of God. And so he goes to Nineveh. All of this other stuff had preceded his going there in preparation for their hearts to be open, because it scared the fire out of them what had happened. God works in mysterious ways. Stripling says this same dating method shows a celestial spectacular happening in 33 AD on April the 3rd, approximately the same time the Gospels record the earth turning dark on the day of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Is that how God turned it dark? Possibly. But God did it. Stripling says the same thing, using the same calculus methods, 33 AD on April 3rd, the earth went dark. Picture this, the stone is rolling to seal the tomb on the horizon, the moon is beginning to appear, he says. Guess what? It's a lunar eclipse. Listen, ancient people would have been powerfully impacted by this. I don't know if that's the way God did it, but this scientist looks at it that way, this Christian scientist, and said that's the way God uses his universe for his glory and his purposes. And he uses us in that context, Jonah, and all of us who will submit to God and be a part of such a big event as God's will playing out throughout the universe. The stone is rolling, lunar eclipse. The ancient people are going, oh my goodness, what have we done? One of the centurions say, he is the Son of God. I mean, it was a terrifying day for people who did not understand who was in control of all things all the time. However you feel about the impact of the upcoming solar eclipse, he says, countless people worldwide will have an eye to the sky on April 8 to see something that has been drawing awe since time began. Warren Gasaway, he's the evangelism, church health, and college youth leaders. He's a team leader for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. I presume that's a Southern Baptist. I'm not sure, but I think it is. Anyway, he writes, based in Arkansas, he writes that Arkansas will see up to 1.5 million visitors for the eclipse. He said, pray for the Lord to move in powerful ways through his creation. God is faithful to reveal and draw people to himself. Let's ask him to do that as 1.5 million people make their way to Arkansas looking for the eclipse, but ultimately encountering the Savior. That moves me. It moves my heart. I'm sure it does yours as well. People need to know the truth, because the truth sets them free. And when things like this happen that are bigger than any one of us, even bigger than the President of the United States, if you can imagine that, especially our current one, it's bigger than all of that. There's no doubt that churches and Christians can use this day, and there's no doubt that they're planning to. No, not all of them. Some will be, they'll scoff and they'll go, oh no, you know, I don't believe, that's just makeup, that was going to happen anyway. Well, yeah, that's the point. It was going to happen anyway. And God has orchestrated all of it from the beginning of time, since creation. He knew this was going to happen at a certain time, and he knew what else was going to be going on. God knew that there's going to be somebody, maybe thousands of them, but somebody who's going through the most difficult time of their life, and they've been resisting God, and maybe somebody's been sharing their testimony with them, and they've been saying, no, I don't believe that. I don't accept that. I don't believe there's a God in heaven, and that's a crutch, and so on. And all of a sudden, something like this happens. They go, wow, this is bigger than I am. And there's somebody there to say, let me tell you about Jesus. That moves my heart deeply. I'd like to be that person, but I'm right here with this microphone now. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That's what I'm talking about today. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Thank you so much for standing with me at this daily program. We originate live every morning, every weekday morning. We do so because we want to talk about what's happening at that time rather than stuff that's a day or two old. There's a place for that, certainly. But we want to be as close to what's happening as possible in the half hour that this program is on the air. It originates live, so we talk about what's happening that day, all from a biblical perspective. We try to look at it through the eyes of God and his word and what he says and what he is doing, because we want to submit to that and be faithful to that above all things. And we want to be informed through the lens of God's word, not through the lens of ABC or NBC or CBS or whatever. Or Fox, for that matter. So thank you for supporting that. I couldn't do this without it. We wouldn't be on the air without your support. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. I'll see you Monday.